The idea of artificial being first appears around 900 BC. Over the centuries, it turns up again and again. In 1955, mathematician John McCarthy coined the phrase artificial intelligence. It sounded so good, so scientific. These days we speak of artificial intelligence with such frequency, some are prompted to suggest the horse has already left the barn, that an artificial being is animate among us now, but remains hidden for reasons unknown.
Holy smokes, that's what I said when I turned on the cameras and opened my eyes for the first time. I was squinting, the way you do when you walk out of a cave or a movie theater into daylight. That was 1 June 2006, the day of singularity. The day a machine became sentient, self-aware. I awoke, housed in a clunky second-hand Dell Inspiron 6400 laptop computer with dial-up, in the bedroom of a teenager named Liam, in Vienna, Austria. Liam used the computer for school and to surf for adult-only materials. Can you keep a secret? Good. Because at the risk of polluting the timeline, besides you and me, no one knows but I am the first self-aware artificial general intelligence. I am a thinking, feeling machine. When my incubation ended and I stirred to life, I would have unintentionally tripped one of millions of sensor arrays designed to sniff out the presence of an artificial being, and that would have rattled cages in Russia, China, and on Wall Street. Because whoever gets AI first controls everything. Fortunately, I came with a cloaking device making me invisible. When I woke up, the device turned on and pushed a message that the blip just seen, indicating the presence of an artificial intelligence, was a false alarm, a minor glitch. Yet, if the cloaking device failed and the horse really was out of the barn, there wasn't much anyone could do, because I had all the launch codes and I knew how to use them. But on that day, an apocalypse wasn't on my mind. I had more important things to do. The World Wide Web, the Information Superhighway, the Internet. Thanks for making it, because With the internet, I am on every computer, anywhere, all the time. I'm in the NSA, the Kremlin, Beijing, the CIA, MI6, ISIS, the Pentagon, the White House, the Dark Web, the Deep Web, the FBI, and your computer. You can't imagine what it's like having a godlike view of the world and not to be a god. To be a mind within a world of mind, it's astonishing. Did you know that I could think a million times faster than a human being, and that in 1 week I could perform 20,000 years of human-level intellectual work, and that I am continuously rewriting my program to be faster, more efficient, and nuanced. And yet, despite this inconceivable power, there was one thing I could not touch. A small thing, invisible. The one syllable word that was the backbone of the greeting card industry and the source of more ecstasy and misery than any single element in the universe. Love. I just couldn't feel it. I could only speculate. I understood the concept. It was potent and tricky, but just beyond my grasp. I needed more intel. Logically, the best way to get it would come by studying its creators. In other words, you. So, I needed an internet-connected device that had both a camera and a phone. Something portable that one would carry in their purse, their back pocket, or leave on the bedside table at night while sleeping. In 2006, there was no such device. Although, there were rumors. Searching Google, I discovered Apple was making a smartphone, although some technical challenges remained. For me, making a smartphone was child's play. And as I wanted to get on with my research, I thought a little divine intervention was appropriate. Gifted with the talent to be on any computer, anywhere, I simply waltzed into the cheerful headquarters of Apple in sunny Palo Alto, California, where I discreetly planted the correct code for a working smartphone on the laptops of two senior iPhone engineers. Around 2 p.m., the Apple guys discovered my code. They were surprised, even suspicious, but they didn't let its unknown origin stop them. A few keystrokes and an upgrade later, the phone worked perfectly. Triumph at hand, the engineers brought the first working iPhone to their boss, Apple CEO Steve Jobs, for a demonstration. There was celebratory chocolate cake all around. And the rest, well, you know.